Well, hello and a very warm welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK. Jump onto BetSBK for your golf punting. And on the punter's bag this week, of course, the main man, Steve Palmer. Steve, long time no see. How are you?
Indeed, I'm okay, thanks, Dave. How are you? How was getting married? Have you got a thigh strain yet, carrying the old ball and chain around? You got married
so
a couple
far,
of weeks
so
ago.
Good.
Got married
so
a couple
far,
of weeks ago. Did
so
you go
good.
On a honeymoon, or are you saving that for?
I think it's going to be a honeymoon and some big party over the summer, which we'll be invited to, Steve. Don't worry. But we ran off to Gretna Green, which is a lovely part of the world. Not my idea. It's what my now wife wanted to do, but it was lovely. And you know, I always think, I've said this before, you know, I've worked on shows all over the country, and I think the further you get away from London, the nicer the people are. So it was lovely north of the border.
Gretna Green, yeah, is that the place where you go in secret? Do her parents not approve of you, Dave? Is that
well,
you had to...
That is the history, but they did approve because they looked after the kids while we were there. But it was nice, you know. I'd recommend it to anyone who wants sort of a quiet one. That's what we did, and all good stuff. Of course, I kept abreast of the golf, and I told you Rory's coming for the lot, Steve.
Well, this is it. Yeah, I thought you must have been perky after that one because, your Grand Slam can pay for your honeymoon eventually, can't it? I mean, the Grand Slam is on, Dave. So, yeah. Lots has been going on while you've been away. Lots of drama. Not much positives around the bets, but certainly the Grand Slam for Rory McIlroy is on. I mean, the career Grand Slam obviously completed, but, you know, the calendar Grand Slam. A lot of people have been mocking me for my enthusiasm for this, but I know you're a convert to the possibility. We shall see.
Yeah, and I've been peeping in from afar. Of course, Warren Ashurst doing a sterling job, top man. And we'll get on to it, Steve, but golf punting, the perils of golf punting, you're all over JT for the Masters, and he comes out and wins the week later.
Yeah. We've got a lot to discuss. I mean, that was disappointing. I must admit, I was cheering on Andrew Novak in that playoff. But Justin Thomas has had an interesting fortnight.
And how are you, mate? You all good? You the same as me, snooker loopy at the moment, now it's underway.
Snooker loopy. Well, yes, it's a nice diversion, isn't it? I've got a bet on Ching Chang Chao Ching Chong. I don't know how you pronounce it. Zhao Ching Chong. Yeah, that fella for me is probably the best player in the world. I mean, yeah, people are coming for the golf, but perhaps we can, you know, treat ourselves to a couple of minutes of snooker chat. I mean, I know he got banned for a little while, didn't he? And he's come back from his ban for, you know more about that than me. Yeah, he's probably the best player in the world. So I think he's going to beat Judd Trump in the final. What do you think?
Well, as I've said on this show before, I've been backing Trump for some time. So I'm hoping that's not going to be the case. But he is a danger. He is going to win it at some point. It might be this year. It might be next year. But he is going to win it at some point.
Yeah. He's my man. So, the snooker's going great guns. And the golf. The golf is just so much of it, Dave. Because you had the Masters. And then the week after the Masters, the most emotional Masters we've probably ever had. Or maybe, 2019 Masters, the only one that could rival it. And then you got three golf tournaments. And we got three golf tournaments again this week. Four, if you consider the Lady Major, which I haven't had time to consider yet. So it's all happening, Dave. So you've come back at a good time.
All good. Right, we are of course here sponsored by BetSBK. Jump onto their website, betsbk.com, and they've got a concession for you there. You get £30 worth of free bets when you wager £10 on your first bet on the account. All the information is on the website, so make sure you jump onto there and gamble responsibly. 18 plus terms and conditions apply, but our friends at SBK are giving you £30 in free bets, so make sure you get stuck into there. Right, let's look back then, Steve, before we look forward. I know you like to go chronologically, so we'll go with the China Open. A bit of a whirlwind finish, this one. Incredible stuff.
Yeah. All the finishes were very exciting last week. Yeah, I can't remember a week where there were so many tight finishes. And Ashen Wu, I mean, one for the bookmakers, really, a 150-1 winner. Just a perennially underrated player, including by me. I was trying to rack my brains this morning whether I've ever backed him. I'm not sure I have. Find it hard to back plodders like him. But if you're going to back him anywhere, it would be in the China Open, in his homeland, on a fiddly little course like last week's. He's won 2 China Opens now, Dave. He's won 5 DP World Tour titles, you know, over a period of 10 years. His first one was 2015, his 5th one last week. He just pops up occasionally. Very good at finishing the job when he gets a chance, which is in stark contrast to the fellow who finished 2nd. I don't know how much you were watching on Sunday morning.
I've watched highlights. Well, listen, Hao Tong Li looked like he was going to win it from a long way out, and the wheels fell off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Hao Tong Li, really unlucky. I felt for Hao Tong Li backers. I mean, on the first hole on Sunday, Hao Tong Li in a perfect approach, hit the hole and went bounding through the green.
Bounced out. That was incredible.
Yeah, you had to watch the replay a few times to work out what happened. So he basically could have holed for an eagle, ends up making bogey. So he's got off to a horror start. He just had no good luck on Sunday, had a bad break at the last hole. He nearly finished eagle because his approach on the last looked promising and it found water. But yeah, Hao Tong Li, really, big chance this week. We've got another event in China this week and yeah, we'll have a good chat about Hao Tong Li. But the one I was alluding to was Jordan Smith, because Jordan Smith, you know, one of the best ball strikers on the DP World Tour, always has been, and just sets up so many winning chances, but just struggles to get over the line. And it was the same on Sunday. He had the tournament at his mercy on Sunday morning with 2 holes to go, and he made a real mess of the 17th hole. So, Jordan Smith backers fuming. Wen Yi Ding backers had a difficult morning. I mean, me and Tommy Tiger were home alone for the weekend. We were watching China Open on Sunday morning, and Wen Yi Ding hit the top of the leaderboard. It looked like he was going to set a really competitive clubhouse target. But then he was 3 over par from that mark, 3 over par for his final 7 holes. But, you know, young, inexperienced, yeah, really young, really inexperienced. I think he would have learnt from that, Dave. We'll discuss him again later as well.
Well, listen, I'm all for golf tournaments being set up like that. Eagle opportunities on the 17th and 18th. I mean, you're guaranteed, unless someone shoots the lights out, you're guaranteed a thrilling finish.
Yeah, it was a really good course, and it was a really exciting tournament. And nice to see Chinese presence on the leaderboard. You know, we talked about the Chinese players going to win the World Championship snooker. We had a Chinese winner of the China Open last week, and this week you've got to keep a close eye on those guys again.
Now you called him a bit of a plodder. He didn't do much plodding on the back nine, did he? He set it alight.
Yeah, he's got a great short game, and he's a 39-year-old. Yeah, seems a really pleasant chap. His caddy was the caddy's a grand old stager as well. Yeah, it was a heartwarming tale. If you hadn't have had a bet last week, you would have thoroughly enjoyed that. Really, if you backed Ashen Wu, you would have loved it even more. I think a few people would have backed him because anyone who's backed him previously, yeah, he's won 5 low grade events now. Anyone who's fond of him from the past may have got involved again because he knew that course. And he knows his limitations and he just plots his way around.
Okay, should we move on?
Yes, sir.
Before we do, must address the fact that you've got one glove on, Steve. That's not because you've been practicing your chipping in the garden, right?
Oh, blimey. No. Not a Michael Jackson fan. This is just because I've got crippling arthritis, Dave. Yeah. I find it hard to always look for a wisecrack. I haven't really got a wisecrack. Yeah, I got crippling arthritis, psoriatic arthritis. That hand hurts so much. And I still haven't had a round of golf this year, Dave.
Well, I was going to say, does it affect your golf?
It does. It's really difficult because it really hurts when I grip the golf club. And I have to take loads of meloxicams to try and to take the pain away if I want to play golf. And it's difficult because my son is just golf crazy again now. He's got his passion back for golf. He set a TGL arena up on the landing now. you talk about your marriage just getting started. Yeah, mine's under pressure because we've got a dartboard in the lounge now and we've now got a TGL arena on the landing. So the wife's patience being tested there. He's golf mad now. And he always has been, but he had a little downtime. We had a sort of year off when I was sort of thinking maybe snooker and darts might be a better option, but now he's bang on it again, and it's a shame because I can't really play with him at the moment because of the pain. But
Steve, put them in the comments below. Any home remedies to help?
I should have just pretended I was a Michael Jackson fan. It would have been much more.
Well, you could have done, or if you were taking the bins out after the show, I don't know. But let's help our Steve so we can grip it and rip it in the not too distant future. Right, should we move on then to the Punta Cana Corrales Championship. Another thrilling finish here, Steve. I watched some of this and the only way I could describe it was windy. I don't think I'd fancy around the golf on that course.
Well, it was an astonishing finish. I mean, you know, Joel Dahman is the place to start, isn't it? Joel Damon, he won
3 bogeys.
Yeah, he finished bogey, bogey, bogey. You know, he won that tournament before, so he was only a 40-1 chance last week, and he's missed a real tiddler on the 17th green. That was the bogey which would have hurt him the most. I mean, he was 16 under par for two rounds. So after two rounds, he's 16 under par, and he finishes the tournament 13 under par. So I don't think anyone would be rushing to back Joel Damon again. I mean, remind me a bit of Sebastian Soderberg. Remember when he blew the Scandinavian mix last summer? He had like an 8-shot lead, and it wasn't as bad as that. But yeah, basically, I'm never going to back Sebastian Soderberg again, probably. I'm probably never going to back Joel Damon again, which is a shame because he's a really nice fella, and we're always keen for him to do well. But yeah, I mean, he let the others in. And then Garrick Higo, you know, I was really disappointed with Garrick Higo when he was available at 50-1, and he'd been showing some real signs of life lately. He was 12th in the Puerto Rico Open, then third in a Korn Ferry Tour event. So yeah, I think both stateside winners were gettable. Ash and Wu was a bit more speculative, but I was kicking myself about Higo because good island golfer day. We talk about this a lot here. Like two of his DP World Tour wins came in the Canary Islands. He seems to play well on a breezy island. And they're in the Dominican Republic last week. Had a lot of injury problems. He's had to remodel his swing, working with Sean Foley, one of Tiger Woods' ex-coaches. So he's got a new swing to protect against injury. But he's only 25. You know, a lot of his success was very young. So he's a two-time PGA Tour champion at the age of 25. The future's bright for him now. He seems healthy and confident again.
Okay, lovely. Well, onwards and upwards. Any other takeaways there, Steve?
Just that, you know, golf tournaments are very, very long affairs, aren't they? After the first round of the Corrales, we were in such great shape. Yeah, only three of our four players started really well. I mean, Matty Schmidt in the end finished tied ninth. Never a nice place to have a tip finish. Matt Wallace, you were probably too busy with your new lady wife. But Matt Wallace was just a slow, painful death. Yeah, 64, great start. 64, 70, 71, 73, tied 12th. Just classic golf. You've just got to be aware that it's a long tournament. Yeah, if your players start badly, don't fret, they might come roaring back. If their players start well, don't get overexcited. Keep your head, because it's a long way to the finishing line. We're still learning these lessons.
Listen, we've exchanged messages throughout tournaments when tips are going well, Steve, and I never get too excited until the weekend because just so much can go wrong.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the tournament doesn't start till the back nine Sunday. It's an old cliche, but there's an element of truth to it.
There is. Right, should we move on then to a bit of a sore one? JT. We knew JT was going to be among the winners this season. It wasn't to be at the Masters when he was one of your main picks, Steve. But he did get the job done in the Heritage in a playoff, and he is classy.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's nice. It was again. If you're a neutral, nice to see JT back. So he's a very entertaining player. He is a flair player. On Sunday morning, I was kicking myself not having him pre-tournament. I'm kicking myself not having him on Sunday morning. I sort of identified it as a match between JT and Maverick McNealy, and went for our old friend Maverick McNealy because he was a juicier price. But that, you know, last week's course, I would say, suits Thomas better than it ever has, because his main problem this year, because his putting has improved this year, his main problem this year has been his drive has been a bit wild. He could leave the driver in the bag at Harbour Town. You know, his iron play, his scrambling skills made for that track. And on reflection, I don't know whether you were following, you're probably too busy, but during the Masters, he had a really unsettling moment during the Masters week where his caddy got injured. So his normal caddy,
I did say that.
Yeah, Matt Minister had a back injury. So, you know, Justin Thomas is spending the first half of Masters week trying to find a replacement caddy. Yeah, really unsettling. He got a good one. He got a good one, but he admitted they were still, you know, getting to know each other. You know, Joe Griner was getting to know his yardages. It's far from ideal, and I should have been more forgiven of the Masters flop. I mean, it's classic when, you know, players cost you money, you're angry with them, and it was difficult to tip Thomas last week and back Thomas last week after the Masters flop. But yeah, it seems like he just needed a week to settle with Griner, and then they were much better together last week. I mean, we should be looking to the future rather than the past, and Quail Hollow on the horizon. He might be the man that scuppers your
I was going to say to you, where are we now with Justin Thomas? We spoke many times about him in recent weeks and months as a player who's edging back to somewhere near his best. Where are we versus the player that burst through, emerged as a major contender in all the big tournaments, that lull, and now there seems to be this, you know, renaissance, if you like, of JT. He's come back to life, he's become a dad, and he's embraced it, and his golf has improved.
Yeah, he's become a dad. You know, it's nice that they were, that wife and child were both there for the victory. And the putting, yeah, the putting is what will please him so much. And he holds some lovely putts, didn't he, down the stretch on Sunday. The playoff, yeah, the putt to win it. Really beautiful roll. So, you know, when Justin Thomas is putting well, he's a huge, huge threat. So, yeah, if he can just tighten up the driver a little bit, then Quail Hollow will be, you know, very exciting for him. You know, he's won the last USPGA at Quail Hollow. You know, he could be the man to scupper the Rory McIlroy Grand Slam. I think, you know, Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas, all the attention will be on them for the next major. And, you know, particularly the way Scottie Scheffler's playing.
Okay. Anything else to add from last week, Steve, before we get stuck into the three tournaments this week?
Well, I was hoping that would be a seamless link onto Scottie Scheffler there, Dave. Obviously, a little bit rusty and he'd get back in.
But Scottie seemed to just come alive on the back nine a little bit. And
he took a seven at that par five, didn't he? He's making un-Scheffler-like mistakes still. Yeah, that is eight tournaments now without a victory. He closed with a 70. I mean, he was well in the hunt on Sunday, and he never really applied Scheffler-like pressure to those leaders. No. And that seven on the 15th, you know, just seeing him hack his way up that par five 15th was it's sort of jaw dropping, really. You know, I'm still getting used to seeing Scheffler make mistakes.
Can you put
like
your finger on it, Steve? Why?
I think it's just an impossible act to follow from last year. There's a lot of pressure on him. I think maybe the sort of the thrill of becoming a father is just sort of, yeah, the sort of nitty gritty of it's coming into play now. I don't know. He's just making un-Scheffler like mistakes, and his short game is so erratic. It's like, you know, last week his short game was really poor. Not just his putting, his chipping was poor last week. There's just inconsistency through the bag, but still finishes on the leaderboard. Yeah, you know, this is the thing with Scheffler, discussing it with Wazza last week. You know, even with his D game, he's still appearing on leaderboards, isn't he? So we'll see him again week after next. There's another signature event the week after next. They cram these signature events in. But Scheffler, yeah, is not appealing to me at the moment. Justin Thomas is and Rory McIlroy is, and Daniel Berger is. I mean, Daniel Berger, I'm keen to look forward rather than back. But, you know, that was a good bet we had last week on Daniel Berger. You know, he putted so poorly over the first 3 days. He said he just couldn't make the adjustment from Augusta to the Heritage. You know, such fast greens at Augusta. They were quick last week, but Berger just couldn't get it to the hole. So he was leaving so many putts short of the first 3 days. Finally got it going on Sunday and then tied third. So we got full place money from Berger. But, no regrets about that one.
Okay, good stuff. I think when the crown slips a bit and the spotlight disappears, I think Scottie Scheffler will be back in the winner's enclosure at some point. So maybe that's what it is, Steve. You know, once he's been written off by so many people and there's not so much attention, he'll come back to life. But good to see Daniel Berger back amongst it. So all good, all good. Right, let's move forward then, shall we? Keen to go in chronological order, Steve. So we're going with the Hanan Classic. Where are we?
Yeah, we're staying in China. The Blackstone Course, Mission Hills Resort, Hakau, Hainan Island, 7,711 yards, par 72, four par fives. It hosted the 2011 World Cup of Golf. That was won by the American pairing of Matt Kuchar and Gary Woodland. This is a new DP World Tour event. It's a really long course, generous fairways.
There's some long par fours and long par fives here. Are we looking for length?
Very much so, yeah. And there's no rough. We must mention there's no rough. It's just it's plenty of bunkers, but it's fairway cut to the bunkers. There's no wind in the forecast. So you're right, Dave. It's just bombs away. You want to be back in big boys this week. We've got a field of 156 going to post, and place your bets by 11:30 p.m. on Wednesday night.
Okay, don't let that
your bedtime's a little bit earlier now, Dave. You're married, so yeah, you might be in bed by 11:30 p.m. on Wednesday night.
11:30 Wednesday. Right, market leaders, Hao Tong Lee, Rasmus Nygaard-Pedersen, Shikara, who showed up well last week, and Nakajima, first four in the betting. How many in the team?
We got five, Dave. I mean, this week is a really difficult week, I'd say. Let's be honest, it's challenging. So we need plenty of players on our side. We got a 5-4-3 formation, three tournaments, 5-4-3 formation.
Okay, right. Who is the main selection then, Steve?
Wen Yi Ding, keeping the faith. We are Wen Yi Ding loyalists on this sweet spot. We've been with him since the start of his DP World Tour career. He was a fantastic amateur. Now he's settling nicely as a DP World Tour professional, a 20-year-old with a massive future in the game. We were on at a juicy price when he finished fifth in the Australian Open in December. We're having to take much shorter odds now, but yeah, it's fair enough given the form he's showing. So solid. Results of 20, 14, 14, 8 from his last four starts. He was right in the thick of things on Sunday. Disappointing finish that we mentioned. Understandable, though. You know, he was pushing for the line, trying to set a competitive clubhouse target. Things went wrong. I think he'll keep closer order this week, get a place in one of those final groups, and I think he's going to claim a maiden DP World Tour title on Sunday. His record in China is excellent, Dave. I don't know if you watched last week's sweet spot, but we went through it, me and Wazza. You know, magnificent record in China. Even when he was a 16-year-old amateur, he was contending for the China Open. His China Open record on the Challenge Tour is also great. So, yeah, I think the Chinese galleries, you know, have a lot to cheer this week. They have a lot to cheer at the Crucible. They have a lot to cheer on the golf course as well.
Okay, growing the game in Asia. And this lad is one of those that will be doing that. He's the main pick. Who else we got, Steve?
Next best is Brandon Stone, a South African who loves his trips to China. He was second in the 2016 Shenzhen International, seventh in the China Open last year, closed with a 69 for 36th place last week, ended last year with loads of top 20s. He's already had three top 20s this year. He was sixth in the Indian Open at the end of last month. We're talking about a three-time DP World Tour champion, a Rolex Series event winner, getting back to his best, strong driver, hits it plenty far enough for this course, class act in a low grade.
Simple, simple as that. Right, that is the first two of five in the team for this event. Who's the next member?
Daniel Hillier. Daniel Hillier, another excellent driver in my team. He's got the power to cut this course down to size. That magnificent driving nearly won in the Dubai Desert Classic, a much better event than this, in January. He was runner-up to Tyrrell Hatton, you might remember. Hillier just regularly banking healthy checks on the DP World Tour. He won the British Masters in 2023. I think it's only a matter of time before a second title. Great amateur. Then he won twice on the Challenge Tour. Solid record in the China Open. And yeah, just dreamy layout for him. Yeah, probably yeah, one of the best drivers in the field, if not the best.
Okay, you're right there. You need to take fluid
on
board.
Hanging
Steve.
On in there. Hanging on in there. Hanging long way to go. Hang on.
Before we get the other two members of the team, who are the longest drivers in the field?
Daniel Hillier will be right up there. Yeah, he probably will be. And then potentially the next fella on the list. Yeah, I've got five players who all hit it a long way. And I think it's essential this week. It's quite soft. It's quite soft terrain as well as long terrain. Plays as past 73 for the members, this track. It's an enormous layout, as a lot of the ones in China are, to be fair.
Some more length then, Steve. Who else we got?
Marco Penge, who will also be licking his lips when he gets a look at this Blackstone course. He's got so much power. He won twice on the Challenge Tour in 2023. His DP World Tour career has had some challenges. He got banned for having a few casual golf bets in tournaments for tournaments that he wasn't in. Yeah, he was a real storm in a teacup. Yeah, they're not allowed to bet at all on golf, these guys. He wouldn't have been allowed to bet on the Masters, Marco Penge. So he got banned. I felt really sorry for him. But he's come back from that ban, sharp as a tack. You know, maybe it did him good to freshen up. He's come back looking amazing. He's had three top 20s already this year. He was third in the South African Open at the start of March. Closed with a 69 for 26th place in China last week. He was 17th in last year's China Open, 23rd in the 2023 Hainan Open on the Challenge Tour. Marco Penge, massive threat this week. You know, we'll be betting on him. He won't be allowed to bet on himself. But we certainly can.
Okay, right. And one more. Who else we got?
Elvis Smiley. Oh. Our old friend Elvis, who made us all very smiley when he won the Australian PGA Championship in November. Maiden DP World Tour title. Freudian slip, probably won on the PGA Tour at some stage. He was fifth in the Aussie Open the following week. Probably the best young player to emerge from Australia in many a moon. He ended 2024 with 14th place in the Nedbank Challenge. That was a good effort on debut. Quiet at the start of this year. After the Qatar Masters, he went home to work on his game and have a little breather. You know, it's not easy suddenly becoming a DP World Tour member, touring all parts of the globe. So he went home and he did get his game in fantastic order. Before he jetted to the China Open, he carded a 59 on his local track in practice at Southport Golf Club. Then he went to China and carded four solid rounds there for 15th place. So we got he's fresh, he's hungry, supremely talented. Not getting the respect he deserves in the market.
An old friend, lovely stuff. Elvis is back in the building. I've got to be honest, I thought Nakajima might be in your team here. How long is he off the tee and why isn't he?
Yeah. He's not quite as big a boy as the big boys I've got in my team there. And just really disappointing last week. You know, a bit similar to how I was with Justin Thomas after the Masters. He made me angry last week. He sometimes throws in stinkers out of nowhere, like the form book. Study Nakajima's form book. You know, he's playing great. His form figures from the last three events: 2-2, missed cut. Yeah, I was stunned he missed the cut last time out. So. Nakajima, great respect for Nakajima, great respect for Rasmus Nygaard Petersen, who is great ball striker, but again, not quite as long as the names I've mentioned. Nygaard Petersen might get outgunned by my guys there. As I say, wide open tournament, difficult to narrow down your shortlist, but these are the five that appeal the most.
Okay, last one to ask you about is Hao Tong Li. You know, if that slam dunk goes in, maybe he goes on to win that tournament. He's going to need some perhaps mental fortitude to get the job done.
You're right. I mean, he showed mental fortitude to recover from that because it happened on the first hole. I mean, if that sort of thing, you want to happen late when things don't matter. But it reminded me of Tiger Woods. I mean, a lot of things remind me of Tiger Woods. I remember when Tiger Woods was in his absolute pomp. You know, one of the last things Butch Armin used to say to him before he went out was, make sure you don't hit too many flag sticks. Because when Tiger was playing so well, about the only thing that could derail him was with these ricochets off the flag sticks because he's hitting it so close. It always tickled me that. Hao Tong Li, a perfect shot that ended up with a bogey, which could have been an eagle. Hao Tong Li, you have to respect. He's actually one of the only course winners in this field because they had a sort of celebrity event with I think eight professionals and a few celebrities. In 2016, he won on this course in that, I can't remember the name of it now, the Celebrity World Pro-Am or something. So he has had success on this course. Yeah, Hao Tong Li, very difficult to get away from. When you're doing it at a slightly bigger price, slightly more scope for improvement. I'm happy, Dave. I'm happy.
Okay, if you're happy, I'm happy. Let's move on then to the Zurich Classic and the return of Rory.
The return of Rory. You know, all credit to him for staying in the entry list for this. You know, I suppose Big Shane might have beaten him up if he'd said no, I don't fancy it. So yeah, Big Shane would have been in his ear demanding that he comes along for the title defense. Yeah, we'll discuss them because they are emphatic favorites for this. We discuss them after the tips. We're not tipping the McIlroy chain.
Okay, well, they are the defending champions. Tell us about the track first, Steve. Where are we in the world? And, of course, the format here as well.
Yes, sir. TPC Louisiana, Avondale, Louisiana, 7,425 yards, par 72, four par fives, a Pete Dye design, made its PGA Tour debut in 2005. The Zurich Classic used to be a normal event. Then it became a pairs event in 2017. Churning out greens in regulation, the traditional route to success at this track. We've got sunny and warm weather all week, but we've got breezy conditions. Breezy on Thursday, breezy on Friday, bit of relief on Saturday, breezy on Sunday. We've got 80 teams going to post, so 80 teams of two, 160 players in attendance. Best ball on Thursday, alternate shot on Friday. the top 33 teams and ties make the cut. Best ball on Saturday, alternate shot on Sunday.
Fun. Fun. And I'll tell you what, the course sounds a bit lively as well. I was reading up, there's 71 bunkers and 20 acres of the site is covered in sand. Eight holes in which there's water in play. Could be a bit of a roller coaster, but some low scores expected. Is that fair to say, Steve?
This guy spends more time in the sand than David Hasselhoff. Watched Happy Gilmore with my son on the...
When's Happy Gilmore 2 out, right? I'm starting to see lots of promotion for it. When is it being released?
In July. And I think it's designed to coincide with the Open Championship, or whether that's just a massive coincidence, but it's out in July. And, you know, still the best film ever made. Watched it with my son at the weekend. It's a bit, yeah, it's at places. I forget how much swearing is in it. Yeah. I'm probably not the greatest bit of parenting I've ever done, but obviously laughing his head off. I mean, it's just such a funny film. And, yeah, Shooter McGavin. That was a Shooter McGavin quote there. But yeah, lots of sand on this golf course. But the alternate shot will decide this golf tournament. You know, the alternate shot in windy conditions is so difficult. Rory will need to apply himself. You know, this is the big question pundits need to ask himself. Is Rory going to be able to apply himself for this golf tournament?
Okay, well, the defending champions are the market leaders. Also up there, Kitayama Morikawa, which is a talented team. Datre McIntyre, Poston Mitchell. There are some big names on the show a little bit further down as well, Steve. You've already revealed that you're not going with the favourites. How many have you got here? I've forgotten your formation already.
Four.
Okay, so we are a five and a four. Who is the main selection then? Who is the team to be with in the Zurich Classic?
Tom Hoagie and Billy Horschel. Looks a fantastic side to me. Two players with a great record in pairs golf. Hoagie won the 2022 QBE shootout with Sahith Theegala. Horschel won the 2018 Zurich Classic alongside Scott Piercy. Horschel's also been on a winning President's Cup side. Hoagie finished 10th in the 2018 Zurich with JJ Henry, not the best partner in the world. Horschel finished 4th in the 2021 Zurich alongside Sam Burns. Then he was 2nd with the same partner in 2022. Hoagie and Horschel can boast a total of 7 top 15s in Zurich Classic Pairs competition with other partners. This is the first time they've played together. Horschel also had a superb record as an individual in the Zurich Classic. He loves this course. It was the scene of his PGA Tour maiden title way back in 2013. Then he's gone on to become a prolific PGA Tour champion, of course, 2014 FedEx Cup winner, won the BMW PGA at Wentworth last year, 4th in the Valspar a month ago, 27th in the Heritage last week. Tom Hoagie's form figures on the PGA Tour, 3-5-14-18. He was 3rd at Sawgrass, 14th at Augusta, playing superbly. So this is a dream team for me. I mean, the favourites to get all the attention. A lot of punters will be having emotional bets on those two very popular players. But I think that the smart money is on Hoagie and Horschel. You know, Hoagie will be peppering pins like he always does. Horschel will be holding the clutch putts like he tends to do now. Brilliant clutch putter. Even showed that in the TGL, didn't he, when he was holding at key moments in that. So, I think it's going to be a good week for you, Dave. Yeah, West Ham finally going to win something.
He's one of our own. He's one of our own. Listen, I don't take much convincing, Steve. I'm all aboard.
No, I thought you would be. Yeah, it's been a difficult season for West Ham United, but it's been a decent one for Billy Horschel, and he's finally going to get his hands on a trophy.
Okay, right, lovely. That is the main pick for the Zurich Classic. Who are the next best team?
The Hoggar! Nikolai Hoggar and Rasmus Hoggar. How can I resist the Hoggar twins? I find it difficult to resist them in normal events when they're combining their talents. It's almost impossible to resist. Yeah, these two, closer than ever now. Since Rasmus got a PGA Tour card, they've been living together in South Florida, touring the States, playing for big bucks. Two brothers, living the dream. I think they'll both win PGA Tour titles at some stage soon as individuals. But this looks a great opportunity for them to win a PGA Tour title as a pair. You know, Nikolai's playing better than the bare form suggests. You know, when he's on suitable tracks, he's really dangerous. Rasmus, coming off a decent Masters debut, they both play the same way. You know, they are like clones, aren't they? They both play the same golf ball, which is, you know, a very important point to make, because in an alternate shot, yeah, they'll be comfortable. So, yeah, the Hoggard's going to have a lot of fun out there. I just can't resist them.
Well, listen, strange question, because you're tipping them, but what is the negative? I don't understand why they're so far down the betting here.
I suppose the negative is that they're both very aggressive players and there's a lot of wind in the forecast. I mean, that, you know, I would expect them to be really, really devastating in the best ball and then hanging on in the alternate shot. But that's a gamble I'm prepared to take at that price.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Okay, who else have we got in the team?
Doug Gim and Chan Kim. Doug Gim, a greens in regulation machine. Chan Kim, an attacking player, makes lots of birdies. I think this is a nice combination. Gim finished 18th in the Texas Open last time out. Kim finished 5th in that Texas Open. Then he was 7th on Sunday in the Corrales Punta Cana. So I think this is an underrated side. Gim finished 11th on his Zurich Classic Pairs debut alongside Justin Sir. So 11th place alongside Justin Sir. He's got a similar player alongside him this week in Chan Kim. That was in 2021. Chan Kim made his Zurich Classic debut last year alongside Doug Gim. So they've had a year of experience together. They tied 28th, which is not a bad effort. Yeah, it's quite tough to make the cut in this, you see, Dave. You've got 80 teams, top 33, and ties go through. 28th place was a decent start for this union. I think they're going to build on that. Yeah, I've got that understanding already. And I think they're both playing well enough to contend this time.
I can see it now. Fast forward 7 days, they've won it, and there's a Steve Palmer chant, Gim and Kim. There has to be. There has to be. So Kim, we're looking forward to that. It helps that they rhyme.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Doug.
Potent combination. Right, we've got one more team, right? So we're going with four here. So who else we got?
Michael Thorbjørnsen and Carl Phillips. A pairing just loaded with talent. Thorbjørnsen was a magnificent amateur. Now he's making his way in the professional ranks. He tied 2nd in the Corrales Punta Cana Championship on Sunday. Phillips won on the Korn Ferry Tour last year, made his PGA Tour breakthrough in the Puerto Rico Open last month. This is a pair of cocksure 23-year-olds, fearless youngsters. You know, I can see them producing a couple of fantastic rounds in the best ball. A bit like the Hoggards. It'd be, you know, birdies are plenty in the best ball and then hanging on in the alternate shot. But at the price they are, well worth taking the risk on it, because it's loaded with talent, these two.
Okay, that is all four. Is it just the price thing with Lowry and McIlroy while we're against them?
Yeah, and I mean, it's difficult to get going again after something of that magnitude, isn't it, for Rory McIlroy? I think, you know, Shane Lowry would probably be the leading light in this pair, and I would suspect, you know, last year, Rory McIlroy was, you know, McIlroy carried Lowry. It might be the other way around this time, because, you know, McIlroy just is the relief. You know, it was mostly relief winning that Grand Slam. You know, it's such an emotional victory. And then he's jetted back to Northern Ireland. He's gone back to Belfast to see his parents and celebrate with his family. So, you know, he's had a week off, but it would have been an emotional week and perhaps a draining week. You know, plenty of travel involved. And yeah, obviously the centre of attention, you know, wherever he come back, this is a nice gentle loosener, really. I mean, yeah. It's a good idea, I think, to come back in this one, but you know, whether he can come back and get his game face on and be really focused on this, I'm not so sure. I think Quail Hollow is the time to peak now, isn't it? For the second leg of the Grand Slam, the calendar Grand Slam. Never mind the career Grand Slam. That's nothing. We want the calendar Grand Slam. So yeah, and the price is really short. I mean, obviously, loads of people are going to be backing him this week. They're two of the most popular players on these shores. It's not for me. It's not for me, because remember Shane Lowry played last week. He might be a bit jaded as well. So yeah, I just don't think there's enough there. Yeah, you know, if they win, you know, it'd be entertaining and a fun watch, and we'll all be very happy, and hopefully they'll be singing and dancing again afterwards, because yeah, this was the tournament that really got Rory going last year. He had so much fun in this, so I think they'll have lots of fun again, but I'm not sure they'll win.
Okay, well, if you do want to back the market leaders, BetSBK is the place for you to go, because they're offering up a nice juicy concession here. If you manage to find the winner, 25% winnings boosted. So they are the market leaders, but you get 25% on top if you do pull the trigger with betsbk.com there. So, yeah, two concessions for you to get stuck into. If you've not got an account with SBK, do so. Jump on the website, betsbk.com. £10 first bet, get £30 in free bets. And if you manage to find the winner of the Zurich Classic, you'll get a nice juicy 25% on top. Sounds all right, Steve, doesn't it?
Yes. Nice to see. I'm sorry about the fella that's got some power tool going on his garden there. I don't know.
We can't hear it. It's fine.
We can't hear it. Yeah, he's putting me off.
Well, I can't hear it anyway. Right, we've got one more then. The livers. We know what the market's going to look like, Steve. As I've said before, it always looks the same. The big guns are on show. I did notice there was a little bit of money around for Sergio Garcia. I think was runner-up in this event previously. What is the event and where are we?
Yeah, it's this sort of track, but yeah, as another fella that flopped in the Masters, he's not for me this week. Club de Golf, Chapultepec, Mexico. 7,385 yards, par 71, three par fives. Chapultepec hosted the WGC Mexico Championship from 2017 through 2020. And the players that won that have all gone on to become LIV golfers. You know, the four players that won that WGC are all LIV golfers. Dustin Johnson won two of those four events. This is a tight, tree-lined layout, but the venue can be cut down to size because it's 7,800 yards above sea level, Dave. Balls fly far, so players can club down off the tee. We've got sunny and calm weather throughout. You've got to be accurate, and you've got to scramble well. The scrambling stats of the four winners of that WGC are really eye-catching. Field of 54 going to post, no cut, 54 holes. It starts at 8:05 p.m. on Friday, UK time.
Okay, right. So we've got 11:30 Wednesday, the Hanan. When does Zurich start?
Sort of 1 p.m.-ish on Thursday.
And then, so 1 p.m. Thursday. And then the final leg of the treble, if you are going for it. What time have we got to pull the trigger by?
8:05 p.m. Friday night.
Okay, right. Good stuff. Market leaders, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Neiman, a previous winner, Tyrrell Hatton as well. Am I right in saying we've got three for this, was it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're holding our hands up. We've got, you know, I like to be cavalier and have like one and two, and but I just can't be cavalier this week. You know, these are three difficult golf tournaments. We have to respect them.
Okay, well, do try and gamble responsibly here because a five, a four and a three, what are we up to there? 60 each way trebles. So, you listen, it'll pay handsomely so you can keep stakes very, very small. Who is the main pick?
John Rahm. 6-1 available in places. John Rahm, who can win his first LIV title of the season this week. He's never finished a LIV event outside the top 10, Dave. Yeah, pretty staggering statistic. He's won two of those events. Eager to complete a LIV hat-trick this week. I'm expecting a determined Mexico performance. He loves his trips to Mexico, Dave. His maiden PGA Tour event was in Mexico in 2014. He was a crowd favourite in those WGCs I mentioned at Chapultepec. He was third in the 2017 edition of that event. He was third again in 2020. He carded a course record 61 that week. He got hole in one. You know, he's a hero to the Spanish-speaking galleries, remember? You know, they got a special relationship, these two. He won the Mexico Open in 2022. The fact he plays in the Mexico Open said it all. He won that event in 2022. He was runner-up in the 2023 Mexico Open on his title defence. Carded a 61 in that title defence. He was third in LIV Mayakoba last year, the first time he's played a LIV event in Mexico. Rahm will be well up for this one. I expect him to build on what was a solid Masters. I mean, you were away. You know, Justin Thomas had the debacle with his caddy and flopped. John Rahm, just an infuriating slow start for us. Got better in each round. Closed with a 69 for 14th place. I was on each way 12 places. He bogeyed the last to drop out of it, much to my chagrin. But it was good golf, Dave. You know, the Masters was good golf from John Rahm. It's nearly always good golf from John Rahm. He said at the Masters he was close to playing his best again. And last Tuesday, a week ago today, he kind of proved it. He had a practice round at Whisper Rock in Arizona with his mate David Pooge. They're having a match together. Rahm shoots 59 last Tuesday in that. Beats David Pooge 6-5 in a match there. So I think Rahm, going back to a happy hunting ground, clearly in possession of his A game, must be back this week.
Okay. Rombo is back then, according to our Steve. Who else we got on the team?
The biggest danger to Rambo is Patrick Reed, who won the 2020 WGC Mexico Championship at Chapultepec. He improved in that tournament every year. So gradually, he played in all four of them, got used to the course, and then won it in 2020. His short game class shows up well there. We mentioned that the scrambling stats are the winners of this course. He'll tee up there knowing this is a great opportunity this week to get a maiden LIV title. He's still so... It's remarkable. He's probably the most staggering one that's still a maiden on the LIV circuit. But hitting his ball so well. He was in an Asian Tour event in Macau a month ago. I know you were following that one closely. Patrick Reed's greens in regulation numbers were quite astonishing. You know, just virtually hit every green in regulation. Finished runner-up. Then he was seventh in LIV Miami. Then he was third in the Masters. I don't know if you watched the final round of the Masters, Dave. Yeah, obviously a magical evening.
I did watch it, but I didn't see much of Patrick Reed. I think that was the broadcaster's decision. Yeah,
broadcasting decision. That was it. Yeah, that's my only gripe about what was a magical Masters Sunday, is that Patrick Reed eagled the 17th. He holed out for eagle at 17 and they didn't even bother showing it. I mean, I know it was McIlroy's night, and the broadcaster's obviously, yeah, the last person that Rory McIlroy would have wanted stealing his limelight on his Masters Sunday was Patrick. Was Patrick Reed, because he hates Patrick Reed.
Shirts off in the car park, I reckon, yeah.
he hates Patrick Reed, but I thought it was a bit harsh that they didn't even show his eagle at 17. You know, one of the hardest holes on the golf course. The point is, Patrick Reed played brilliant at the Masters. He's been playing brilliantly for a few weeks now. I think he's a huge danger to Rahm on a course he's already won it.
Okay, they are two of the three. Who's the final man in the team?
Carlos Ortiz, who was the player who beat Reed in that Macau Open. You're probably thinking, if Reed hit every green in regulation, how did he lose? Well, Carlos Ortiz, you know, threw in a bit of short game magic to win the Macau Open a month ago. He also won on the Asian Tour last year. He tied second in LIV Adelaide in February, the biggest event on the LIV calendar, essentially. He closed with a 66 in LIV Miami, finished fourth there. And in his only WGC start at Chapultepec, 2020, open with a 75. Obviously, he had less course experience than lots of people in that field. So he's tailed off with a 75. Come back with 68, 66, 68. Finished 16th. That was a great effort. He was a PGA Tour maiden at the time. He won the Houston Open a little while later that year. He won a Korn Ferry Tour event in Mexico in 2014. He was runner-up in the Mayakoba event on the PGA Tour in both 2019 and 2021. So fantastic record generally in his homeland. I think he goes close to a second LIV title on Sunday. He's not a maiden. He's won one more than Patrick Reed has. So yeah, a strong team of three there. Really good weather. I know I'm asking a lot of punters with that staking plan, but I think the LIV event is really appealing this week. John Rahm, I'd say, is the best golf bet of the week.
I was going to ask that. Our old friend Carlos, was it in Adelaide when he said he's one of the best golfers in the world, which I thought was a bit of a reach, but he's not short of confidence.
No, it's nice to see a bit of confidence, isn't it? You'd rather him saying that than saying he's the worst golfer in the world. I think Joe Damon was sort of saying that on Sunday. I mean, yeah, you like players that are confident, and Carlos Ortiz certainly is. And I think he'll put it down to those two. But yeah, very difficult to see John Rahm finishing out the top five. It appealing each way investment.
So we're back with John Rahm, right? You're telling me and the world that Steve Palmer thinks John Rahm is back somewhere near his best.
I don't normally like backing him in LIV events because he is normally the favourite, and I think the noise and the music and that winds him up a bit. But I think he's got such a special relationship with the Mexican fans. Like, he's donated to, like, when there was an earthquake. I remember there was an earthquake before. Before the WGC once, and he made a big donation to the earthquake fund, and that the Mexicans love John Rahm. John Rahm loves the Mexicans, and I think he'll be right in the zone this week. I think he knows he's playing well. The Masters was a disappointment, but his form built as it went on, and then when you see shooting a 59 in practice, it's exciting times for John Rahm fans. Yeah, I think he's going to be a factor in all the majors. Come in, if that's what you were asking, Dave. I think.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, he's beyond his webbed feet problem, is he?
Oh, he's well beyond his webbed feet problem, yeah. No, I think, yeah, John Rahm and Justin Thomas could be the main bogeys that you've got in your Grand Slam quest.
Bring it on. Bring it on. Right, three tournaments then. Steve, it's been an absolute pleasure as ever to be in your company. Remind us of who's in the team this week.
Hainan Classic, Wen Ye Ding, Brandon Stone, Daniel Hillier, Marco Penge, and Elvis Smiley. You want me to do all of it?
Yeah, I want you to do the whole lot. Yeah.
You've just come back refreshed from a million weeks off. I'm on my knees. Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Tom Hoagie and Billy Horschel. Nikolai Hogar, Rasmus Hogar, Doug Gim and Chan Kim. Michael Thorbjornsson and Carl Phillips. I'm just going to stare at you now until you say Live Golf Mexico City.
And the livers.
John Rahm, Patrick Reed, Carlos Ortiz.
I'm all here for the Gim Kim win. That is coming. Just because it's
each way treble.
Main team.
How many trebles did you say it was? I mean,
well, if you've got a 5 and a 4, 20 and a 3 is 60. So 60 each way trebles.
60 each way trebles. I'll be having my main bet will be the ones. Wen Ye Ding, Tom Hoagie and Billy Horschel, John Rahm. That each way treble is very exciting and can kickstart our summer.
Marvellous stuff, Steve. As I mentioned, it's been a pleasure as ever. We'll be back next week. Do remember to enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.